You're listening to Vatican Radio. Where are we on the journey of Christian unity today? What are the next steps on the road to reconciliation and greater oneness in Christ? Those were the urgent questions on the table at a historic meeting in Geneva this month of representatives of the Catholic Church, the World Council of Churches, the World Pentecostal Federation, and the World Evangelical Alliance. It's the first time that Pentecostal, Evangelical, and Charismatic leaders have come together at the highest level to talk with all the other mainline churches. The encounter at the Bosse Ecumenical Institute is a direct result of the work of the Global Christian Forum, set up by the World Council of Churches 2 decades ago. The hope is that it'll lead to important improvements in the often difficult relations between older and newer Christian communities in different parts of the world today. Bishop Brian Farrell, Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, represented the Catholic Church at the Bosse encounter. He told me why the meeting marked such a significant ecumenical event.
20 years ago, the people engaged in ecumenical dialogue under the guidance, of the World Council of Churches, asked the question how we could involve a huge part of Christianity which does not have a tradition of dialogue. Referring to Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, evangelical churches.
Which are the fastest growing churches, aren't they?
Yes. And it is considered that today there are about 600 million members of these churches, which means it's a huge part of the Christian world. Now, what happened was that the idea developed into the Global Christian Forum, which is a kind of space where there would not be any theological dialogue, which seems to threaten these groups sometimes. It makes them feel that they do not have anything to share with the mainline historical churches, including the Catholic Church. And from the beginning, we here at the Pontifical Council have supported this Global Christian Forum, supported it and worked with it and being present at the meetings. This has led then to the question, what is the specific role of the Global Christian Forum, especially in relation to the World Council of Churches, which tends to gather all of the mainline churches, including Orthodox, Protestant, historical Protestant, and evangelical, and even some Pentecostal churches, all except the Catholic Church, which is not a member for many reasons, but is in a real continuing partnership with the World Council of Churches in the search for Christian unity. So the question then is, what are the specific roles of these two bodies? This is the first time that the leadership of the World Pentecostal Federation and the World Evangelical Alliance have set at the table with the leadership of the World Council of Churches and the leadership of the Ecumenical Office of the Catholic Church.
And what do you think it was that has persuaded them that it's time to do this?
Well, there are a number of reasons, including the huge attractive nature of Pope Francis's approach to them. They feel that here is a Pope who understands the specific spirituality and the specific missionary outreach of their churches. They see him as somebody who prays in a vivid, lively way. They see him as somebody who meets them. He asks them to pray for him. He even asks for their blessing. And they feel this is a Christian that we can relate to.
It is a huge development from just 20 years ago, when so often these groups were disparagingly called simply Protestant sects.
Well, I think in the meantime we have realized that we cannot have this kind of an approach which excludes them, precisely because we believe that in most cases the common baptism that we have, baptism in the Holy Trinity and by water, makes them real Christians, and therefore we have a responsibility to them ecumenically.
What do you see as the most important results then of this meeting? What was the decisions that were taken that will somehow influence the work that goes on here?
Well, I think that we have broken down a barrier. Never before have we had a formal meeting with this level of leadership. In the past, we have had dialogue with Pentecostal churches, but it was rather on the basis of interested individuals or particular groups. Now we have a platform in which we hope to be able to build a relationship with the groups and the people that they consider to be influential and important at the international level. So this is a new situation. We are very happy that this has happened. The meeting was extremely helpful in clarifying our ideas, in discussing the motives and the reasons why we have to be in contact and not in rivalry and contrast.
You're representing, obviously, the Pontifical Council here at this meeting, and yet I'm wondering how much is this participation supported and shared by other people here in the Vatican, as well as, of course, within the wider Catholic world?
Well, we are hopeful that people will take an interest and that they will understand what's going on. I expect that when people understand, including here, of course, in the Vatican, when they understand the huge effort that is being made to improve relations between Christians at every level and in all kinds of situations, we will have their full support. Because one of the first results that we hope to have from these better and deeper relationships is that the kind of rivalry and conflict that goes on in many parts of the world between Catholics and charismatic, Pentecostal, evangelical groups will be able to find a new approach, a new attitude on the basis of the conversations that we hold. If we have this conversation at the high international level, our hope is that bishops in their local area and people, Catholics in their local area, will be able to, in some way, initiate a conversation with the members of those communities. So it is hopeful.
This seems to be very substantive progress in the theological dialogue, and yet we so often hear Pope Francis saying that if we wait for the theologians to make agreements, well, then Christian unity will never happen. In other words, underlining that the practical seems far more important than the theological. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think on the one hand, he's right. Yeah, I mean, theologians have huge questions, and sometimes they don't have a ready answer. Plus, we have to recognize that there are Christians in the various churches that have very different ideas about fundamental truths of the faith, if you wish, about the concept of church, what is the church, about the way that we have to understand the scriptures, and so forth. So these questions take a long time. They take a lot of study and discussion. With the older churches, of course, the discussion becomes even more delicate and longer, because we also have to resolve many of the questions that have come up in the course of our history. And so, for example, with the Oriental Orthodox or with the Eastern Orthodox, we have the burden of a huge historical suffering that has to be taken into account also in the dialogue. With the newer churches, with the Pentecostal and charismatic churches, we have not got this long history. They did not move out from the Catholic Church or from the Church of the First Millennium, as in the other case. They are something that sprung up outside the Catholic Church. So they have different feelings about whether and if they should even be in relationship. So all of these things take time.
My thanks to Bishop Brian Farrell, Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity.